Matthew chapter 4, if you do have your Bible, and hope you do, and we'll be turning to other scriptures along the way, and I'll try to give you time to turn there. If you'll get an old Schofield Bible, I'll tell you what page it's on so we can all be together, all right? That's what I preach out of. You say, why do you use that? Because my daddy did. And he brought me up. We're on page 997 this morning, all right, to start with, okay? And but Dad used Schofield Bible, so I do too. And some people like a real wide margin Bible. I don't like that big bulkiness of it, you know. And that's why I wouldn't use a Thompson chain. It's just too big, all right? Now, I have a Thompson chain at home, but that's not the one I'm going to take to use to preach from. So now, just in case you're worried, it is the King James Bible, okay? Well, we're not going to use anything else, not going to preach anything else because we don't believe anything else, all right? So in Matthew chapter 4, if you would there, just going to look at one verse. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. My soul, what a statement. What a statement. Bread, food, if you will. Yep, it's not enough, the Bible says, to sustain life in man. It's not enough. He needs something more. He needs more than the nourishment that's provided by what he eats, okay? And that necessary ingredient above all the others is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Bible said that man, he doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word, all right? Hey, now, if you've got a red letter edition, that's in red in your Bible, okay? Because that's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that, all right? Now, for us, when we say the Word of God, that means this book right here that I hold in my hand. We're to live by that. It is the very, very Word of God, all right? The very Word of God. Job said this in Job chapter 23 and verse 12. He said, I've esteemed thy word more than my necessary food. Now, I dare say most of us haven't done that. We haven't done that. We encourage you to read your Bible through. We try to encourage people every year, read your Bible through in the year, and you say, why in the world would you do it? Well, because of what the Bible says right here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right? It's the Word of God that we're to live by. Now, I realize in this world of unbelievers, scoffers, and naysayers, there's a multitude that would challenge that statement. There'd be a whole lot that would say, boy, I've managed to live a good life without having given any consideration to the Bible at all. And there's a lot of people would tell you that. They don't know anything about the Bible. Hey, there's a lot of people come to church, don't know hardly anything about the Bible. But I want to say this to you. What you don't know and what they don't know is what they're missing. They just think they're living. They just think they're living. I almost had Mrs. Noble stay at the piano here. I thought about it because I'm not going to say anything about who said it, but somebody came in, and it was before Sunday school, and I was here and doing something, and I was singing or chirping or doing something, and they said, boy, wish I felt like that. And I said, well, hey, man, you need to. But I was going to have her stay, and I was going to sing the song, You Can Have a Song in Your Heart in the Night. Now, don't go there, all right? Because I'm not going to sing it. But I thought about doing that because you can, all right? But a lot of it comes because you've got this book in you. You've got this book in you, all right? The world doesn't know what they're missing. That crowd would tell you, hey, I don't need the Word of God. And they would defy anybody to show them what that word has done for them. Well, that's what I want to preach to you about today. I want to preach to you the subject this morning of what the world will do for it. What the word, not the world, what the word will do for you. All right? Now, I've got 4 pages of notes. I usually preach 2 pages of notes. But I was told by Brother McFaith that I don't need to be in a hurry this morning. because the Cowboys don't play until tomorrow night. So I hope y'all are ready. No, the truth of the matter is I'm probably going to preach about half of this morning. You're going to have to come back tonight to get the other half, all right? You say, why don't you preach it all? Because I get hungry, okay? I'll just be honest with you. I get hungry, all right? You say, well, what in the world does the Word do for you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go there, would you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Man, tremendous verse in the Word of God. I think I just gave you the wrong reference. I think it's 2 Thessalonians. And it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. So whatever I said before this, don't worry about that 1 Thessalonians, all right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, page 1272, all right? You're with me there. Page 1272, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Notice what the Bible said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. That is not the verse I want, all right? It's chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. Well, every verse in the Bible is good, all right? It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now notice what the Bible says here, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Hey, this book will do something for you that no other book will do. No other book will do. Now, I'm a reader. I've got thousands of books in my library. I do not know how many I have, but I've got thousands of them. I've got so many that about maybe half of them, a little over half of them are here in an old office I used to use in the Sunday school, and the other half are at my house, okay? And I'm constantly accumulating more because you can never have too many books, all right? You just can never have too many books, and I want you to know that. And so I read a lot, but this is only one. This is only one I can come back to over and over again and get something new, get something different, get something good for me, all right? And so you say, well, what will it do for you? Go to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to page 323 if you got an old Scofield Bible, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 3. So, preacher, really, come on, what will the Bible do for me? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. You say, what does the Bible do? It reveals God to you. It reveals God. I just want to tell you something. If you want to know God, you want to know who he is, you want to know his attributes, his characteristics, his character, there's one way to find out and one way only. You're going to go to the Bible and read this book because it's the only book that'll tell you about God. Now, there's tons of other books that are written about God, but the one that you can count on to tell you about him is this one right here. It's the one that describes him, all right? Don't go seek out some philosopher. Don't go looking for some scholar or some theologian. Somebody that's got a DR in front of their name or a PhD after it, all right? You just open that book right there and read it, all right? You seek him out in the pages of this book because this book tells you about him. There's tons of people, they don't know anything about God, and they write a book about him. The worst thing you can do is listen to people. I mean, you ever heard people say, well, I thank God. I've sat so many times and listened kind of on the edge of the conversation. You said, were you eavesdropping? Yes. Sure was. I was listening in. And I've been in places sometimes at the hospital, family members going through surgery, and I'm there with the family, and a lot of the family members will be there, and they begin to talk, and I don't know if it's because of the possibility of death or the fact the preacher's there, but oftentimes they talk about spiritual things, and they talk about the Bible, and they talk about God, and I always listen in. You say, do you say anything? Not usually. Not usually. Usually I just sit and listen. I hear them say, well, I think, and then out of their mouths comes something that's got absolutely nothing to do with what the Bible says. Many times directly contrary to what the Bible says. And can I just say this to you, and I don't want to be rude, but it doesn't matter what you think. When it comes to God and who God is and what He's like, it doesn't matter what you think and it doesn't matter what I think. We just have to take Him at His word. And the Bible says He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He says, I will not at all acquit the wicked. But I've heard people say many times, I think God understands my sin, as if He's going to overlook it. But He said directly the opposite thing. He said, I'm not going to do that. Not going to acquit the wicked. Listen, you want to know who God is, what He's like, what His attributes are? You're going to find it in the Bible. You read your Bible, it'll tell you who God is. It'll help you to understand Him. Can I just point it out? His ways are not our ways. He doesn't operate the way we do. I'm glad He doesn't. He'd have killed me a long time ago if He did. I'm glad He doesn't operate the way we do. He doesn't think the way we think. His book says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. And they're not. And people today think they are. We've humanized God. Heard some guy say one time, the Bible says, God created man in His own image. And now we've turned around and done the same thing. We've created God in our image. God's not like us. He's not like us. Thank God He's not like us. He's a God of mercy. We're usually not that merciful. Now, we like to think we are, but we're not. We're not that merciful. You say, well, why do you say that? Because I've been on the freeway driving with people. They're not merciful. Forgiving, you got to be kidding. We have people shooting people, drive-by shooting, because somebody cut them off. And for that very reason, they shoot them. What in God's name is wrong with us? Well, I guarantee you, we're not like God. We're not like God. He forgives. The good thing, not only does He forgive, He forgets. Glory to God, what a blessing. Hey, you don't know what God is? You don't know who He is and what He's like? You'll find out in the Bible. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You're not going to find it in a newspaper. You're not going to find it in a magazine. You're not going to find it blessing to somebody. Just read your Bible. You want to find out something about God, you get a hold of some person, usually some godly, elderly soul that's been reading their Bible for 60 years or more, and they've walked with God, and they've depended upon God for years, and they've prayed to Him for years. You sit down and talk to them. They can tell you what God's like. They can tell you about God. Yeah, don't go to some PhD. Don't go to somebody that's going to Bible college, all right? I'm not against Bible college. I teach in one. But that's not where you go. Hey, go to the book. Go to the book. Hey, what will that word do for you? It'll reveal God to you. It'll reveal God to you. Take your Bible to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, would you? Looks, if you can't find Psalms, it won't do me any good to tell you the page number, all right? Psalms 119 this morning. Psalms 119. I want you to notice what the Bible said. Verse 11. Now, this is going to be a familiar verse. You've heard it. Notice what the Bible said. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Here it is. That I might not sin against thee. He said, what's the word going to do for me? It'll keep you from sin. It'll keep you from sin. Sure will. Hey, this book was written to tell you what's right. Over in the New Testament, God used the Apostle Paul to say, the word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of those things have to do. Hey, doctrine's what's right. You hear somebody say, we don't like doctrine. In God's dear name, are you a nut? I like doctrine. Doctrine is what's right. It's what's right. And that reproof, that's trying to get you right. Correction, you know, works on that. Instruction in righteousness to keep you right. To keep you right. Hey, this book will keep you from sin. It'll keep you from it if you'll read it. Now, I don't mean if you just carry one in your pocket, it'll keep you from getting into sin. No. That's not what I'm saying, all right? And just because you have a lot of them, it won't keep you from getting into sin. But if you'll take this book, all right, and you'll get it in you, get it in you, it helps you. It helps you stay away from sin. And you say, why do you figure that? Because when you get tempted, and maybe even you're reaching, those words come back to you. And you go, maybe I ought not to do that. It's kind of like having somebody watching. Somebody, and my favorite word of correction with my kids, my favorite word of correction is, say, how do you spell it? I don't know. But I know how, man, I heard that grow. And I've noticed kids understand it, kids that I haven't raised. You get around little kids, and they be reaching, you go, ah! They understand it, okay? It's a wonderful word, all right? Hey, well, if you get the Bible in you, it'll do that for you. It'll help you, all right? It'll help you. Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather stay out of trouble than have to get out of trouble. Are y'all with me? I'd rather stay out of trouble than get out of trouble. I'd rather stay out of sin than have to confess sin. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like confessing. I don't like anything about it. Nothing. And it makes me feel bad. Makes me feel bad to have to admit the wrong that I've done. Don't like it. Don't like it. I hate to do it. I don't like to have to go to somebody and say, would you forgive me? I'll never forget old Heidi sitting over here. She probably remembers this. She was in high school. She was on the volleyball team. And I don't remember if it was volleyball or basketball, actually. And it was basketball. She does remember, okay? All right. But I remember the day that I was coaching, and I lost it. I lost it, okay, over a stupid ball game. Dumbest thing in the world. And I had to go to the ref and apologize to him. We now support him. He's on the mission field. But I had to go to him and say, man, I was wrong. I don't like doing that. But then worse than that, I had to go to all those girls on that team. Now, I didn't enjoy it, okay? I had to stand there in front of them and say, you know, I'm stupid, and I did the wrong thing, and I was wrong, and I want you to know I was wrong. I want you to forgive me, okay? I want you to forgive me. Listen to me. I didn't enjoy that. I don't like doing it. That's why I'd rather stay out of trouble. That's why I'd rather stay out of sin than have to confess it. Have to confess it. Now, I had to confess those kids on that ball team. I had to confess to that referee and ask him forgiveness. But I want to tell you something. It's another thing to have to confess to God. Boy, I don't like it. I'd much rather take this book and find out what not to do and let it keep me out of sin. This book will do that for you. This book will do that for you. If you'll put it into practice, it'll help you stay out of trouble. It'll help you stay out of trouble. Most of us, we get into trouble because of stupidity and things we do. We know better. Hey, look, this book will help you. But could I just take it one step even farther? You're there still at Psalms 119. I want you to look in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I want you to remember that verse. You maybe even keep your finger in there, but I want you to go to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians, all right? The book of Ephesians. I want you to turn there with me in page number 1254, all right? And in Ephesians chapter 5, if you have your Bible, you'll go there. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to notice what the Bible says here, all right? You see, this is what the Word of God will do for you. This is what the Word of God will do for you. Ephesians 5, verse 26. The Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the Word. By the Word. It's the Word of God that can clean you up. As it said in Psalm 119, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Hey, not only will this word keep you from sin, but if you get in it, it'll clean you up. It'll clean you up. Now, I'll be honest, I wish we didn't need it so much. But this book will clean you up when you've sinned. I'll never forget listening to Brother Roloff years ago at the homes that he started and maintained down in Corpus Christi for young people and kids in problems. They used the Word of God to clean up the folks who came there. All right? They used the Word of God to clean up the people that came there. Look, the dirt that is on you can be taken care of with soap and water. All right? The dirt that's on you can be taken care of with soap and water. But hear me. The dirt that is in you, the filth that gets in you, can't be taken care of with soap and water. Because you can't get the rag to where it needs to be. All right? If you do, it'll kill you. All right? If you did, it'd kill you. Right? You can't get the rag where it needs to clean, okay? It has to be that. You see, the problem is it's the heart and the mind of man that needs to get clean. It's in here, and it's up here between these ears. Hey, that's where the cleansing needs to take place. But you can't get it that. You can't get it that with soap and water. You can't get at it with a scrub brush. You just can't do it. But the only thing that can get there is this book. This book. Boy, we preach it to you. We try to teach it to you in Sunday school. We encourage you to take it home and read it. Why? Help you get cleaned up. Help you get cleaned up. You know, if you don't take a bath at least every month or so, you're going to get an aroma that sticks with you. And you, it's going to be hard. People are not going to want to hang around you, all right? They're just not going to want to be too close. Well, I'll tell you something. You get that old iniquity in you, and you get that old filth in you, and you develop a stink of a different kind. And good people and people that love the Lord aren't going to want to hang around with you too much either. So how am I going to clean that up? Get the Word. Read it. Read it. I mentioned Brother Roloff. I'll never forget him telling about, I'll never forget actually hearing the testimony of a young lady that was sent there. Her parents, you know, had testified. They were told by the court, you know, and told by the doctors and everybody, if you send her there, she'll die. It'll kill her. It'll kill her. And they said, well, if she dies, she's going to die at the Roloff homes. They said, man, she had all kinds of problems with dope and everything imaginable going on. And she said, when I went there, she said, man, I wasn't in my right mind. And I really, just really not in her right mind. But she said, day after day, week after week, it was a constant diet of the Word of God. Of the Word of God. It was read in the morning when they got up. It was read during the day. And it was, they had to memorize that and put it in there and put it in people. And she said, finally, man, it was the Word of God that got through to me. It was the Word of God. Why? It's the Word of God that gets in you. It gets in you. We have scripture signs. A lot of you have scripture signs in your yard, okay? And it's put there by one of the men in the church, and he changes them out usually every month and rotates them and takes care of that. And at his yard, he's told me many times, he had people come by and tear his sign up. Isn't that interesting that words would affect people that way? Just words. Yeah, just words. Hey, you got that word? Why? There's no word like this word. No word like this word. Why? Because it gets you. It pierces. The Bible said, man, it'll pierce all the way to the dividing of the soul and marrow right in you. But it doesn't leave any mark outside. But it'll sure do the job inside. Hey, your life needs to be cleaned up. How are you going to clean it up? Through the Word. Hey, what's the Word going to do for me, preacher? I'll tell you, it'll help you to know God. It'll help you to know God. Second thing it'll help you do, it'll help you to stay right, stay clean, stay away from sin. But if you get into sin, third thing to do, help clean you up. Help clean you up. Now, I want you to take your Bible and go away to the end of the New Testament. I want you to go over to the book of 1 Peter, would you? 1 Peter chapter 2. Because this is something many people don't realize, don't think about too much. But boy, it's the truth, all right? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's easy to find. It's right before 2 Peter, all right? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 23. Notice what the Bible says. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now let me say this to you. The Bible will do much more for you than I've preached this morning and that I'll finish preaching this evening, okay? However, it'll not do anything for you if you're dead. It won't do anything for you if you're dead. You with me? Nothing. Nothing. The most important thing a dead man needs is life. All right? The most important thing a dead man needs is life. Now, the Bible said the lost man is dead. And he's dead in trespasses and sin. And I was a 9-year-old boy. I was a dead 9-year-old boy. I was lost in my sin. Hey, you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a walking dead man. You're dead as you can be. But I got news for you. You can be born again. You've had the physical birth. But you need the spiritual birth that truly makes you born again. And that's what the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again by the Word of God. Born again by the Word of God. Hey, listen, if you don't believe this book, you're not going to be born again. But if you don't believe it and then you got to act upon what it says, you must have faith in the God of this Word. Call upon Him to forgive you and to save your soul. Apart from that, there's no hope of heaven. No hope of heaven. You can work. You can give to every charity that exists. You can make all the fortune you can. You could be the one that wins the next $1 billion lottery and give every dime of that for what the world considers to be good causes. You can try to do good, you can try to be good, but if you die without Christ as your Savior, you'll spend an eternity in hell because you made the mistake of rejecting God's Son. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. By His mercy, He saved us. By His mercy, we're born again by the Word of God. Hey, you've got to believe this. When we go out and I knock on doors and try to witness to people, I always want to open the Bible if they'll let me and show them, here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. Do you hear me? It's what the Bible says. What's important is what this book says. Hey, you can see it. I've been with somebody before, and we had the Bible open, and I took it open, and I showed it to them, and I had them take, and I said, now you read that verse right there. And boy, they were reading along, and they got to a point and said, I can't do it. Why? Because of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Say that person gets saved, not that night, as far as I know, never has since then. Never has. They had the chance. But you got to believe this book. Now, you don't have to believe this preacher, but you better believe this book. You're born again by the Word of God. Not corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the Word of God. Hey, all the other things, a lot of people, they can't stay out of sin. Why? They don't believe His book. You hear me? They don't believe His book. You can claim you do, but you claim everything. If you believe it, you'll do what it says. And when you get into sin, it'll help clean you up, but a lot of people won't get cleaned up. Why? They won't take His book. They won't do what God says. They'll not come. They won't confess. They won't come to God, face Him, and say, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Makes me feel bad. Me too. I've already told you that. Boy, it sure feels good after you do it. Feels good to make it right. My mama, when I was a kid, she'd say, you'll just feel so much better when you had a bath. I'll be honest with you, she had a hard time convincing me of that. But I'm going to tell you this. When I get this in me, cleans me up, sure does feel good. Hey, man, if you've sinned, there's nothing like coming to God, confessing it to Him according to what He says here, and asking Him to forgive you. Because He does a good job of forgiving. Hey, this book will do something for you. It'll tell you what God's like and who He is. This book will keep you from getting into sin if you do it and stay with it and obey it. You won't get into sin. Hey, if you do get in, it'll help you clean you up. Boy, the best thing, if you're here today and you're lost without Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sin, it'll help you to get born again. If you'll take it. Will you do it? You do it this morning. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've been guilty. This last week there were some things went on shouldn't have went on. You're guilty. You know, oftentimes we as parents, we like to think about our kids when we think about that. We think about, they did wrong. Wait a minute, Mama and Daddy, what about you? What about you? Hey, invitation time is not a time to point the fingers unless you do this. Invitation time, point it at yourself. That comes in when the Bible said, let a man examine himself. You with me? Hey, let a man examine himself. It's time to do it. The Bible will keep you out of sin, but if you've got into it, it's the only thing that'll help clean it up. Hey, it's the only thing to help restore that fellowship with God. The only thing that'll do it. You're here, you've never been born again. If you'll walk this aisle this morning and come down this aisle and meet me and shake my hand and say, preacher, I need to trust Christ, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have somebody take the Bible and show you what it says. Well, I'm not going to ask you to trust me or trust Him. We're going to ask you to trust God, trust His Word. Hey, where are you this morning? The Bible will do a lot for you. What's it doing for you right now? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye?